When I preach the square one, nobody gets to hear later on. And so anyhow, by the grace of God, we are living in some pretty hard times, some desperate times, some times that the Lord warned us that would come. But with those warnings that those times would come, He also gave us great hope, great faith, that He would never leave us. He will go with us into those times. And it is okay. Now, it is well with my soul, because my soul is held firmly inside of the grasp of Christ Jesus. He has led us this far, and by this far we've come by faith, and we will not be overcome. Amen. The gates of hell shall not prevail, regardless of the hard times or the difficulties that we may face. God is still on the throne. Amen. His will, His righteousness, His love is going to persevere. Last week we started a study, or in the study, of the pillars of faith. And we came across this one after charity, right? And we spent a good long time in charity and settled down. The last part of the charity was endures all things. And then the next pillar that the Lord put on my heart a year ago, I guess, give or take a little bit, was suffering. That was before I realized that we're going to spend 32 weeks in charity. Right? But it's interesting the way that God works out His word, His scripture, and He prepares men's hearts for the things that God wants us to know. That there is suffering, and that the church is called to suffer. But in that suffering is our greatest glory. In that suffering, we will be polished brighter than the sun. There's great things to be held on in the suffering as a Christian. Those things is what we're going to look at today. And I'm so excited in that. In fact, Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. It says, verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." All right? What did Paul just write to Timothy? If you're going to live godly, a Christian lifestyle, you might. Is that what he says? What's that word S-H-A-L-L mean? You can count on it, take it to the bank, it's going to happen. It shall happen. There's no second guessing. There's no way out of this. If you're going to live as a person sanctified, set apart for the high calling of God, you will face persecution. Persecution's never easy. And it's never comfortable. Oh, but the payout is great. Amen? The payout is life eternal and everlasting with Christ. So Paul says you're going to suffer persecution in verse 13. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them." All right, now those two little bits of verse right there, check it out. The evil men and the seducers are going to do what? Worse and worse. Are you sure that doesn't say going to get gooder and gooder? Does it say that it's going to become easier and smoother? No. Those who hate God, who don't trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're going to gain in power and they're going to get worse and worse. It's not going to get better, people. It's going to get harder. And if you are standing in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. There's only one way to stop suffering of the persecution, and that's go the way of the world, because the world would love its own. But you are not of the world. You're not of this world system. You've been born again. You've been set apart. You've been called out of this sinful wickedness, set free by the power of Jesus Christ, that we might know truth, and that truth would set us free from all the bondage of the flesh, from all the bondage of this world. But when we're set free from the world system, that world system hates you because of that. And because it hates you, it will come against you. And in this present time that we're living in, it looks like they have all the power. It really does. Until God.
That's right.
Right? It looks bad until God. What was it? Psalm 73. I looked into it.
And things were getting bad all over the place. And he didn't understand. He said, my feet had nigh slipped. I almost fell. Until I went to the sanctuary, until I came into the house of God, and then I learned what those wicked people, what their final payment's going to be.
That's right.
It may look bad today, oh, but there's glory coming. It may look bad this moment, but there is a promise we have, and it is not of this world. We have a kingdom outside of this world that's coming for us. We just got to hold on until it gets here. And not just hold on lacklusterly, you know what I'm saying? We got to hold on with courage, with power, sticking out. Yes, say, yes, I am a Christian. Yes, I do believe that everything was made in 6 literal days. Yes, I do believe there are 2 genders, only 2 genders. Yes, I believe marriage is between one biological man and one biological female, male and female, and they're to be joined together for life. Amen?
Amen.
And we got to believe that. We got to hold on to that. And when the world comes against you and says, you're crazy. We hate you. There's 128,000 different genders. And if you want to be a puppy dog today, you can be. Let me give you a litter box in your classroom. Stop the foolishness. That's not real. That's not truth. God's word is true. And we got to come back to God's word. God says that they're going to hate you in the last days. It's going to get worse and worse. Who here that is of my age or older ever thought that you would see this? I never even came to the thought of my mind that there were ever more than one or two genders. Never, ever. It was never even a concept till this year. Anyhow, those are some of the lies that they will tell you. But God's good, even in amongst all of that. It looks bad, and the persecution is rising. The world system is hating those who trust in Jesus Christ more and more every single day. And again, my 2 favorite words in the whole Word of God is, but God. But God. Yeah, it looks bad, but God is in charge. It looks bad, but God has a plan. It looks terrible on the outside, but God has a reason for all of this. And I think he is separating the wheat from the chaff. He's separating those who really believe in the Word of God, wholly, thoroughly, furnished in God's Word, from those who would believe any wind of doctrine that might come up. But prepare for this. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be pleasant. There's a lot to say about that. But God just gave me that scripture this morning. So that's not part of what I was going to teach. What God is telling us, and I want to go to what Jesus says, not what I say. Because my opinion's fine. It's pretty cool. I think, anyhow. Anybody who knows me knows that I think my opinion's pretty cool. And it's most right. But if my opinion, if my lifestyle, if what I believe doesn't line up with the Word of God, then I am the greatest of all fools. So Jesus said this, and I like it when Jesus says something. Y'all have all heard about the Sermon on the Mount, the blessed, right? That blessed teaching that Jesus gave. Praise God, it is a blessed teaching. But in that blessed teaching, he gives us great warnings. And so if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 5, we'll be picking up in verse 9. Because there's other... Isn't that horrible? You just can't pick up in verse 9, can you?
No.
That's like cutting out half of it. So we're going to back up. We're going to start reading in verse 2. Because I like this. Verse 2 is pretty cool. Chapter 5 of Matthew. And he opened his mouth and he taught them. Okay. Praise God. This is where we need to get our teaching. When Jesus opens his mouth and he teaches us something, you need to be paying attention. You need to be tuned in with the fullness of your heart and mind, because the God who spoke the world into existence is about ready to teach you something. Who here wants to learn? I'm tired of being ignorant. All right? I'm tired of that. I'm tired of believing every wind of doctrine. I need to know what the Creator of all things has to say. And so praise God. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's good news, amen? If you're poor in spirit, if you're humble, if you're of a contrite and broken spirit, if you're high-minded and haughty and proud of yourself, yours is not the kingdom. All right? But if you're poor in spirit, yours is the kingdom. So you examine yourself on that. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What are you hungry for? What are you thirsty for? Do you really want righteousness? Do you really want it? Because this whole teaching here is not just coming up to verses 9 and forward. He's saying, listen, you've got to have some preparation in your heart, and you need a foundation that you're going to be blessed with. First, you need to be humble, not proud. You need to be prepared for whatever comes. You need to be grounded in the Word of God, holy, standing on His thoughts, His attributes, His ability to do work in you that you're not able to do. Are you prepared for that? It's going to get uncomfortable really soon. Jesus is going to say some uncomfortable things really soon. Are you prepared for the uncomfortableness of truly being a Christian? That's amen or not. Okay, wake up. Come on now. We ain't all asleep. Do you really believe that? I am really, I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed by God more than anything this world has to offer me. I want it enough. Do you want it enough?
Yes.
All right, well then let's get into it. And so, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. All right, do you want mercy? Be merciful. All right, don't be over judgmental about somebody. Show mercy. Do you want to receive mercy? Then you better be giving mercy out. If you ain't giving out mercy, don't expect to receive it. So if you want to be merciful, if you want to receive mercy, give mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Are you pure in heart? Are you sincere about what we're about ready to look into? You got to be firmly grounded and sincere, wholly looking forward to the teaching that's going to happen. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Well, wait a second. Not the revolutionaries? Not the ones that says, I'm going to fight, I'm going to win, I'm going to conquer. Und ich will machen so. Right? Those people? And I said that in German, I'm not speaking in tongues. All right? I will make it so. Hitler said that. I'll make it so. He wasn't a peacemaker. Are you a peacemaker? And he's going to lay it out really plain coming up next. Do you really want these blessings of God? Blessed are the peacemakers, because they shall be called the children of God. That's the child. I mean, love my mom and dad, no doubt, but I want to be called a child of the Most High God. More than I want to be called the offspring of my mom and dad. I want to be called the child of God. And you got to have some mindsets being turned around. You got to have some ideals maybe need to be erased out of your mind. And you need to have a different heart that only comes through the charity, the 16 attributes of God living in you fervently, growing moment by moment. So he said all that to say this, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Wow. Persecuted. So, if I really want to be blessed by God, I need to face persecution. That means people aren't going to like me just because I'm charismatic and short and bow-legged. Got gray hair. I wear a tie on Sunday. People aren't going to like me. No, wait a second. He says, you're going to be blessed if you embrace persecution. Wait a second. God loves me. I can't be persecuted. I'm a child of God. God would never hurt his bride. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you will be persecuted. And there's a blessing in that persecution. We all said we wanted to be blessed. Are we willing to be peacemakers in the midst of persecution? They're going to come take your guns away. They're going to strip you of your constitutional rights.
Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, wait a second. Queen Hochul said that we can't carry a gun in church no more. Sorry, I do. And if they come and persecute me because I'm defending the flock, then so be it. If they come to my house, knock on my door, and say, we're confiscating your guns, guess what I'm going to give them? I'm going to give them my guns. If they come into this church and try to hurt one of God's flock, you will see a different shepherd behind this pulpit. You will see the staff. Okay? And I will fight to the death for you. Okay? But when they come against me personally, and they say that I'm a heretic because I teach the word of God, because I love Jesus Christ, and they want to lock me up in a prison or put me away in a FEMA camp, I ain't going to fight them. I'm not going to fight them for that. You know what I'll do if they send me to a FEMA camp? I'll start a new church. All right, so I'll kick up the old church, because mostly only Christians are going there anyhow. Right? I'm going to be a peacemaker in the midst of that mess. When they are going to say, you can't speak, I'm going to speak, but not just any words, I'm going to talk the oracles of God. How about you? Those are peacemakers, right? Those are facing persecution with your head up, your chest out. You're saying, yeah, you can hate me for righteousness' sake. But understand what he said here. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Don't be persecuted because you're a lying, cheating, tax-evading criminal, right? You deserve persecution for that. In fact, God has a special persecution for you. It's called hell, right? And he'll take care of that. Don't worry about it. But as for you, if you're going to be persecuted, if you're going to be hated, make sure you're standing on the right side, the right side of glory when the persecution comes. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who wants the kingdom of heaven? Mm-hmm. All right, you better suck it up, buttercup. You better get ready for the persecution. You better lock it in and say, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to move with God. I'm not going to have my way above the way of the Lord. I'm going to embrace the persecution and the suffering. Why? Because I trust God above anything this world can throw at me. Blessed are you. When men shall revile you, wait a second. People are going to love you because you're so loving and kind and sweet. And think about Jesus. He did nothing but love and heal and show mercy and truth, and they crucified him. Okay. Revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Make sure when they're reviling you and hating you and persecuting you that you are standing on Christ's side. Right? Make sure that that's the side you're on. That they might do that, but they don't have any cause for doing that. The only cause that they have is that you believe God's word. The only cause that they have is that you trust the one true God that created the heavens and the earth. The only cause that they have to hate you is because you love them. When they smack you on one cheek, turn to them the other. When they steal from you, when they take from you, and they take your shirt or your coat, offer them your shirt also. When they say, walk with me 1 mile, walk with them too. Even though they hate you and they're persecuting you and they're desiring to lock you up, maybe take away your livelihood. They're about ready to take your 401k. They're going to take all the money out of the banking system. And folks, if you don't believe that's true, wake up. The dollar bill that we're holding on to that we say, oh, we trust the mighty dollar. Listen, you're trusting on the wrong thing. That dollar's not worth the fabric it's printed on. You better be trusting in Jesus Christ. They say all manner of evil against you falsely. Make sure when they say evil against you, that it's false. Right? Caledonia, they said that I was a cult. Caledonia, believe that. That where we started this church out, the workout.
And quick as we left that area, there came another teacher that started a gay pride church right in town. But God waited until we were out of there before that happened. That's okay. God's in charge. When they hate you and persecute you in this town, go to another one. Hello, Scottsville. Right? And so that's okay. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. So when the persecution happens, they're saying falsely things against you, all manner of evil against you. They're hurting you and saying all nasty things about you, taking from you. Rejoice. Praise God in the midst of the concentration camp. Praise God. Now, when they lower you, persecuted for Christ, the guy who wrote that book.
Warren Brand,
right? Wasn't he the one that was lowered into? No, but it was in that book, right? It was lowered. There's a person who was persecuted. He was in the gulags, right? And what they, his punishment every day was be tied into a rope and lowered into the septic system. And he had to clean it out by hand. He was molly grubbing one day. It's a rough job. Smells bad. Don't really want to be there. And all of a sudden, he happened to see a strange piece of paper floating in amongst all the excrement. He picked it up and he cleaned it off. And you know what it was? Scripture. One of the guards was using the restroom, and he was wiping his posterior with the Word of God and throwing it into the pot. And he would pick up those scriptures and he would clean them off. He would bring them back to his cell, and he would treasure that. Go ahead.
He was ready to turn away from God.
Yeah, yeah.
He had lost all hope.
Yeah, I forgot that part of the story. You're right. He was at his last hope. He said, there can't be a God if all this persecution's happened to me, there can't be a God. And then the Word of God fell out of the enemy's hand into his hand. And then he started thinking of the place as a sweet-smelling aroma to him. Because he would go and he'd be alone with God in waist-deep human excrement. And he would praise God. And we're getting all upset because of our constitutions being taken away? Listen, the Constitution is not the Word of God. You know? We're getting all riled up because the government's evil. Right? It is. But our God's good. Our kingdom that we're promised is good. Right? I have a promise from God that he's bringing a kingdom. I have a promise from God that I'm going to be persecuted if I trust in that kingdom. Turn, if you will, to Romans. Actually, I'm sorry. I should have said Matthew 10. Romans is next, so you can keep your finger there. When you get into looking in persecution in the Word of God and suffering in the Word of God, it's going to kind of pop your bubble a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we have been taught through dispensationalism that all this suffering is just for the Jews. It's not for the church. Church will never have to face any of this kind of stuff. Because one day we're going to be walking around, we're just going to float away. There's no persecution going to happen to the church. God loves you. You're so special, you American. God doesn't love the ones in India that are being martyred for the gospel of Jesus Christ. God doesn't love the ones in the Middle East who are dying every day for the gospel. He just loves you because you're American. So fluff up your, what's that pillow, that the guy?
My pillow.
Fluff up my pillow and have a sweet night's sleep. Because it's all comfy for you. Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 34. I know I don't like to start in the middle, but if I read the whole thing, we're going to be here till next month. Okay, So just in 13. Behold, I send you forth as sheep among wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues.
Does that sound fun? Yay! I want to go get scourged at church. I want to go to where the so-called believers are so that they can take the truth of God's word living in me and beat me and hate me because I trust God's word over top of John MacArthur's word. Just got an email from one of my friends who goes to this church. Reminded me something that John MacArthur said not long ago. You know that you could take the mark of the beast and still go to heaven? John said it, recorded it, got him on film. All right? Now, that's kind of contrary to what the Bible says. But John, he's a scholar. He knows everything that us common people don't know. Who are you, Curtis? You got a sixth grade education. You don't know nothing. You can barely tie your shoes on. I use shoehorns, by the way. I tie them once, and I use a shoehorn. So I got away with that. Velcro.
Slip on.
Amen. You got something. But this guy, he's spent years and years in studying the Word of God, and he's way smarter than you. And he says, if God's going to forgive you for doing something that is such an abominable thing, you've got to believe him. Don't worry about what the Bible says about that. Believe John. Okay, don't believe John, because the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says if you take this mark, you will go to hell.
Yep, yep.
You will be cast out.
Absolutely.
I don't care what the smart people say. I would rather be considered like James and John and Peter were. They had been imprisoned for preaching the gospel, but they brought him out and says, I can tell that you guys are uneducated men, but you've been with Jesus, right? Let that be your testimony. Don't go to college to learn about the Bible. Learn about the Bible and teach the word. You don't need to go to a seminary school to do that. You need to go to the Holy Spirit school and do that. Anyhow, as we're reading here, as Jesus is warned, and these are Jesus' words. In my Bible, they have Jesus' words printed in red. By the way, if there's any confusion about that, just follow the words in red. And so, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, to the courts, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before the governors and for kings for my name, for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought of how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you the same hour which ye speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which is in heaven. Brother shall deliver up brother to death, and father the child. And the child shall raise up against their parents, and they shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye unto another. For verily I say unto you that you shall have not gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he as his master, and the servant as his Lord. For if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his house? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. Speak ye in the light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye on the housetops. And fear not them which shall kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So who are you going to fear? It ain't Ghostbusters. Amen? Who are you going to call? Again, it ain't Ghostbusters. You better be fearing God. You better be holding on to his word. You better be trusting him more than anything else. Because Jesus says they are going to hate you. Your mother, your father, your brother, their sister. If you're standing for righteousness, they are going to hate you. And if they don't hate you, well, you better go back and check to see if you're really walking in the will of God. Because if God says, if you do this, if you follow me, they're going to hate you, and the world is loving you, you might not be following God. That's between you and the Lord to discuss. But if Jesus says you're going to be hated, and the world is loving you, he also says that the world will love his own. Right? John 15, verses 17 through 23. And these things I command you, that you love one another. Oh, praise God! What are we supposed to do? I got to love you guys. Because the world's going to hate us. He says that in the very next verse. It says in verse 12 or 17. I messed up my thing there. These things I command you. Oh, it's 17 because the next is 18. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, know it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. His own, not its own. All right, so now we know that we're talking about powers and principalities in the heavenly realms, right? The world system's going to love those who are of the world system. So if you are calling yourself a Christian and living like the world, who's going to love you? The world is, and you're going to fool people who call themselves Christians. But you ain't fooling Jesus Christ, because the day of judgment will reveal it all. Church, you need to be aware and awake to these things, that the world's going to hate you. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember, the word that I said unto you, that the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they had kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Wow. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Okay. Did you catch what Jesus just told you? Because this ain't me talking. This is the Bible. This is God's Word. When you read God's Word, you are hearing God's voice. And he's warning you there's persecutions. They're going to hate you. He's warning you, if you look like the world and the world is loving you, then you might be hated by God. You may be confessing Christ with your mouth, and your heart is so far from him that there's no righteousness in you. I've told you this about my own life. There was a time that I was talking to somebody about Jesus Christ, trying to lead them to the Lord, and they said, I would have never guessed, Curtis, that you are a Christian. Wait, I'm telling you, I'm telling you the Word of God. They said, your lifestyle was so opposite from the Word of God, I would have never guessed it. For shame. How many people that are going to church every single day, the world could not distinguish you from their lifestyle. See, there's supposed to be a difference between light and darkness. Oh, we are supposed to be a city built on a hill. We're supposed to be shining the glory and the majesty, the righteousness, the holiness of God. But because we're afraid of men, we let them say that there's 7,000 different genders. Because we're afraid of men, we won't stand that abortion is murder. Because we're afraid of men, we're afraid of the government, we'll take any shot they give us. Because we're afraid of the world. Jesus said, don't fear the world. What's the worst that they can do?
I mean, really and truly, what's the word? Send me home? You're expelled from the world. You got to go see Jesus. Wow! Praise God! Send me there! I can't wait! I'm on the next truck out. It's okay. People, we're all going to die. I'm going to die fighting for Jesus. I'm going to die, not fighting like this. I'm going to die fighting like this. On my knees, with my hands raised to the heavens. I'm going to fight dying willingly, taking the persecution, because it's not me that they hate. They hate the God that I serve. I'm just the vessel that they're kicking over. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who are you, Lord? You got that right. I'm Lord. My name's Jesus. And you're persecuting the church. That means you're persecuting me. Everybody knows who Saul turned out to be. He turned out to be Paul, the greatest church planter that the earth has ever seen. I'm not getting through this today. But that's okay. It's not about me. It's about you.
Jesus.
It's about Jesus. Now see, you are Jesus. You ain't Jesus, but you have the Spirit of God in you. It's about the church. It's preparing us to go through these times with dignity. It's preparing us to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. It's preparing us to strengthen those things which remain.
Amen.
Right? That's what it's about. I told the guys, everybody who was in Sunday school this morning, when God called me to start this church, He didn't call me to go save souls. You know what He called me? Not that I don't witness and tell people about Jesus. He called me to strengthen that which remains. Those wishy-washy Christians. The ones half in and half out. The Sunday go-to-meeting Christians. They all look good on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. But they never really apply the Word of God in their life in a personal, deep way. Find those people. Strengthen those people. Teach them how to stand. Not in my words, not in Curtis's words, but in the Word of God. And then God sent this beautiful virus, COVID-19. And I thank God for that. Y'all might think, he's crazy. Thanks God for COVID-19. I do. You know why? It weeded out the ones and He brought these in. Amen? All the ones who wanted their churches to close, they let them close. We stayed open. You know what it brought, y'all? A whole new crop. And you know what the ones who left called me? He's crazy. He's a heretic.
Actually, I've looked at a lot of ticks, and none of them really have much hair. So I'm not a heretic at all.
I'm just doing my best to strengthen you for the moment we're living in now. I'm preparing you by the Word of God that we need to be accepting the persecution that's here, amen? It's already here, but we just haven't seen it unto blood yet, right? We aren't the ones that, as of right now in America, we haven't seen our friends and our neighbors locked up and burned in front of us. They have in India, they have in Africa. They have in the Middle East. They have in China, North Korea, South Korea. They have in all of those places, in Russia. We haven't had a gulag here in America, but they call it FEMA because that's where the Christians are going to be. I believe that. I don't have scripture for this. I believe those who really stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the love of God, we're going to be called out, called out from amongst the world system. And we're going to be singled out. You, Wendy, and all you guys, we're going to have to take all of your wealth, all of your houses, all of your land, because you're crazy. You're the real danger here. And in fact, if you listen to the news cycles, they're already calling Christians the problem.
Yep.
All right? They're already saying that. So it's not far from the lips to the guns.
Right.
All right? So expect it. Expect the persecution. Now, what are you going to do when the persecution comes?
I'm going to stand up, put him up. I'm going to fight you. I'm going to fight you because I'm a big bad Christian. I got a gun. Shoot my way out of this.
Well, believe me, they will pry your gun out of your dead hand.
They will. They won't have a problem about it. In fact, you may be thinking that you're going to fight them off and you're asleep in bed and all of a sudden your house blows up with a hellfire missile from 5 miles away. They'll say it's a gas leak. Don't worry. But we had only electric. It was a gas leak. Don't worry. Believe me, the government's not here to help you. Never has been. What did Reagan say that? The most frightening words in the world is, "Hi, I'm the government, and I'm here to help.
And I'm here to help.
I'm here to help. I'm going to help you out so much. I'm going to take all your food. I'm going to take your house and all your money. Holy, you're going to have nothing, and you're going to like it."
For the re-education of Christians, AOC and a number of other elected employees are calling for that.
They're already calling for the re-education. I'm glad you brought that up. I read it this week. That they're calling for the re-education of Christians because we believe in Jesus Christ and they want to get us out of that mindset. Oh, but we are not of those who fall away into perdition, draw back into perdition. No, no. We're going to hold on to the end, like Jesus said. I hope that you will. I hope that I will. I haven't faced this yet. All right? But one thing I know, that God said He will be with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He didn't say He would take it away. He said, "I will give you grace to go through it." He didn't say that you aren't going to be, as they are in chapter 11 of Hebrews, destitute, hiding in the caves, being clothed with animal hair. Praise God, I know how to shoot a bow. Thump, I will lay me down a venison and I will dress in hair. Wonderful, long, flowing hair. Some of y'all might catch that. And so, and it's okay. It's okay. Because God loves you. He loves you. He's prepared His word for this. And I thought I was going to get over to Matthew 16, 1 Peter 4. And I even left one of my pages on the desk. I only got through one more page this week. Folks, and I'm not saying this to hurt you. I'm saying this to encourage you. Trust God.
Amen.
Trust God.
Here's the conclusion. What is that in Ecclesiastes 12, 13? This is the conclusion of the whole matter.
That's right. Fear God.
Fear God.
Obey.
And obey Him.
Yeah.
That's what it is? Okay. Wow. She was laying on, the lights came on. Folks, I love you. And, okay, I'm not going to. We're going to talk about marriage today. 150 years, we're going to celebrate three couples here that have been married and their whole lives have represented the grace of God, persecution and suffering. 150 years worth. So. No, stop, she said. Jesus, stop. And so, no, marriage is wonderful. And when a man finds a wife, he has found a good thing. Amen?
Amen.
Don't be afraid of it. Hold on to it. It doesn't say when a wife finds a husband, she's found a good thing. She's found a job for life. And so, people, I love you. Is the food date again?
We're eating at one.
So y'all only keep on.
Keep on going. Absolutely.
Chris, I got one more saying.
Yes, my brother.
Somebody, I think it was Reagan, but don't put me on that, said, "Government big enough to give you everything you want."
Yes.
It's big enough to take everything you got.
Amen. Yep. That's right. A government that's big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take everything you got.
The worst thing about this government, they weren't even elected; they were installed.
Yeah.
One generation away.
That's Ronald Reagan said. That one generation away.
Profound.
So, not like an amateur found it; a pro did. So anyhow, I'd already prepared my mind to stop, and the Spirit of God is actually, well, I could force this, but that's not God. And it's interesting, when you're walking with the Lord and you're studying His Word, you can feel when it's time just to shut up.
Yep.
You know? And so I'm going to zip it. We're going to lift it before the Lord. We got some time to fellowship, wash your hands, use the bathroom. The food's on the way. We got about 45 minutes. I hope that you can stay. Amen. So let's go to the Lord. Or unless y'all want to talk about it, we can talk about it. You know, but I can't preach about it anymore, but we can talk about it.
He can pray against the government, too.
Yeah, we can.
He can pray that God will remove people
Amen.
From government.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Amen. Yeah, just because they have the dominion voting devices doesn't mean that they have dominion.
Yeah.
We have the only God who has
Amen.
Dominion.
Amen.
Amen. And so,
God's call to His people are if my people.
Yeah.
Repent.
And He raises up the leaders.
And so, He raises up
the leaders. I think that depends on us, right?
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
God will give us what we ask for.
Yeah.
All right? And as a nation, we have asked for ignorant, self-indulged, blasphemous sinners, ungodly men and women to rule this country. And guess what we got?
Yep.
Amen. But that's what the church allowed.
Well, and God reveals that to us and gives us the opportunity to pray against it.
Yeah, amen.
Because it's the righteous that see the wicked.
Again.
Proverbs says when the wicked are in authority, the people
mourn.
When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice.
Right.
So the opportunity here is because we don't know where we are.
Right.
We don't know where we're headed.
Mm-hmm.
We see some bad things, but we've also seen victories, like we've said. We've seen victory over abortion.
Yep.
Yeah. Amen.
We've seen
Amen.
Victory over the right to pray openly.
Openly.
The
yep.
freedom of religion.
Yeah.
There's more coming.
Mm-hmm.
There's the ones they challenged Roe versus Wade. Also challenged sodomite marriage.
Yeah.
So we don't know where we're at, but we're seeing also some mercy and grace through God in these times that, and I agree with Ben, these people have not been elected, they've
right.
been installed.
And I knew how evil this government was back in 2011. I mean, you hear people say, fake news, fake news. I knew that the news was fake way before I even heard it. I knew about fake. I knew about planned forced vaccines 10 years before they took effect. If you ever want to have that discussion, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's it.